good afternoon. This is Samantha Wagon. Hey, Jenny. I'm dialing in.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So, Samantha, how do you fit into the team here?
So I'm the branch manager out of the Stewart Branch, and I work with Stephen Swan. I also have the pleasure of working with Vinny and Trent as a subcomplex manager as well.
Great. Welcome. Have you been in on any of the other calls?
I have been in on one other, but I dialed in late, so I didn't interrupt. Trent was kind enough to give me the dial-in information so I could listen in on these calls, because I've not been part of the Supernova experience before. So, I appreciate you allowing me to listen in.
Sure, yeah, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
Trent? Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Rob?
Good, good. We have Samantha, who is listening in, and let's see, who else do we have on today?
Vinny's on.
Manager.
Okay. I'll be leaving at 3:30 for a 4 o'clock meeting. So.
Okay. All right,
we'll talk about you after that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm flattered to have managers on. I think it's helpful. I think teams will generally make the process is much easier when managers and leaders are involved because they can make things happen and hear about them right away rather than waiting and then having to deal with issues down the road. So thank you for being on, and I think
Yeah, and just Rob, so you know, Denise is following along, kind of. Oh, yeah, 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 that's great. Okay, he's in the office, manager, and Samantha's overall over it. Okay, all right, okay, is that you? Yes. Well, I haven't adjusted
my presentations accordingly, but I I hope I said the right thing.
Yes, you have.
So how was your week? And I know it's a shortened week, and what's on your mind this week before we get going?
We didn't get a chance to talk last week, did we? We went to the last call. I missed the last call, so that was not good. But
yeah, 11:14. So I think we missed one there.
Personally, I mean, I'm using Supernova probably in the folders more than anybody, and you know, I handed out a mini folder today to someone, and it's very well received. I mean, it's the process, that part of it, I kind of, you're running into, you know, I think we're working our way through the glitches since we're going through the second month of fall, and Sheila and I are kind of coming back together to the drive, like, hey, what worked, what didn't work, what did we miss, what am I looking for in the file? So it is a little bit of a learning process that I think you learn in the middle of doing sometimes. And we're working on, I call it the real gold mold, actually call it the enthusiastically endorsed list, which we're starting to work through that. I started approaching people. Well, I like this week's videos. I don't know how you're going to go through that again, but 90... I really, the mastermind group, because I'm, you know, just really around people that have ran CEOs. I'm around, like, some sort of high-quality people, and it's just, why not use them as a part of my mastermind group, because they're interested. And I have a few Morgan Stanley board members that live right here that I play golf with. Why not, you know, have them as part of, you know, part of my operation? Because all they're going to do is refer me. So I want to kind of walk through how we take this out to our centers of influence. I thought you could have 6 centers of influence, you know, 90. I don't know if everybody got the chance to watch the videos. Hopefully you did. But the 90 really, really qualified prospective clients. I don't know what you call them, mm-hmm. but I think for me it's probably 30. 90. Yep. There are 90, but I'm focusing on 30 that could really become clients during, we're in Florida, so I call it during this season. So I wish I was doing this last summer because I would have been approaching the service model. I guess I'm having a hard time. Who do I verbalize the service model to? And I guess the answer is everybody. But last summer I ran up north and played golf with all my clients. And I didn't play golf with them. I only played golf with one client. But I went and saw all of them in their own element up at their place. You know, I was in Cape Cod. I was in Eastern Shore, Maryland. I was in Chicago. I was in New York. I was in Connecticut. I went to all those places trying to bolster relationships because I want to do business with their best friends. So how do I, other than the service model and them wanting to endorse, how do we, that's much more powerful to our business. If I get 20 people, of those 20 refer me 3, that makes our year basically. So how do I get that message coming, not just from me, but to them? And I think that this week is touched on that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some wonderful things in each part, each chapter, if you listen carefully and you have the ability to hear it, there's some amazing, I mean, not because I created it or it's probably, I didn't even create it. I probably got it somewhere along the way. But there's nothing in there that is a casual, oh, by the way, this might work thing. I mean, everything has been thought through and researched and talked hundreds of times. And my biggest challenge is to have clients like you that will actually use it. I mean, you are hungry and you like this and you know what it's worth. You know, when you get a good idea, you know what it's worth, and so you take advantage of it. So it's like coaching Olympic athletes, you know. The guys that have the capability of getting a gold make it a lot more fun for the coach. So let's just take them one thing at a time and break them into little pieces. One of the things that, you have some great niches already. Do you think you have enough niches before I go into talking about how to develop a niche? I mean, I don't
want to... Well, no, I think you should talk about developing a niche because, you know, everybody... Look, you know, one day I won't be here. You know, there are other people on the call that need to hear this and need to kind of understand, you know, what does it mean to create a niche, and maybe there's a niche I'm not thinking of. So let's, you know, let's go to the basics, you know.
Let's use the niche that you have, the one that I'm most intrigued with, which is the retired money managers. That's a great niche, right? And if you didn't have, let's just assume you didn't have it. So here's how you approach developing. Let's say you have, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I've got 2 or 3 retired money managers. These are perfect clients. You know, they know, you know, they're great. Okay, so how do we get more of them? Well, what we do is we go to one of them that has been, is a great client. You get along well. You like him. He likes you. You trust him and he trusts you and listens to you. He understands. You know, so you take the one that's the best. He may have been already a center of influence. And you go to him, whether it's a breakfast or a lunch or a coffee or something, or at the next time you do a review with him. And you sit there and you say, look, we want to bring in, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 maybe good new families this year. In order to do that, it's going to take an introduction. So here's what I'm thinking. Tell me if you think this is a good idea. I've noticed that I have now 3 retired money managers, and that becomes kind of a special niche for me. I talk the language because they come from whatever, maybe it is your firm. Maybe not, maybe it's just money managers and you understand the language of, you know, retired money managers. But basically, I talk the language of the group and they seem to like me and like to do business with us. I'm thinking of expanding that and developing that. Do you think it's a good idea? Now, since this is called the advice model.
Yeah.
A guy named Larry Biederman originally used this, and it's valid as it ever was. And the idea is that if you ask somebody for advice, you elevate them, put them on a pedestal, and make them feel good about themselves, and then they want to not let you down. All right, so you're sincerely asking them. This isn't a setup. This is a sincere question. Do you think it's a good idea? Because it may not be. You know, you could ask somebody if you think that cardiologists in Miami is a good idea, and they say, no, you know, I think it's a dead end or something. So you say to them, you know, so you get the, and they say, yeah, I think it's a really good idea. This is the next question that's really critical, and that you say it properly. You ask for their advice again, and you simply say, if you were me, how would you go about it? And then you could describe it. Here's what a niche should look like, okay? You can say, it should be a group of like-minded folks. They don't even need to get together. They just know each other. Or they don't even have to know each other, but one knows the next, knows the next, knows the next. So it's more for an internal marketing effort on my part. If you think it's a good idea, how would you suggest that, if you were me, how would you suggest I go about meeting these individuals? Mm-hmm. And then just let them brainstorm. This is very similar to our brainstorming that we're going to do later on.
Okay.
But it's specifically for this niche. And then you'll say, oh, it's really, you know, you probably don't know this, but we get together. We have a little group that gets together. And when do you get together? Wednesday, you know, second Wednesday of the month. And what do? Well, we kind of brainstorm about the markets and just talk, you know. Do you think that would be an appropriate venue for me to show up? You go, sure, yeah, I think that'd be great. You know, come on, I'll introduce you, and, I think that would be great.
Hit in my head on the wall because, you know, I'm trying to track clients, and I just, all you gotta do is ask two simple questions like that. I mean, you know. And then,
no,
it is. Yeah, I'll be like, hey, I'm great, don't you want to do business with me? Right? And all it is showing that they're valuable and that you work with that niche, and you know, asking if they could, you know, if they think it's smart to work with that niche, and how would you?
And then how would you suggest? You get, you know, you meet some of these guys. How would you suggest that we go about this? And you say, you know, well, we have a lunch. We have this. We do that. Or I'll just introduce you. You know, or let's just do one on one.
God, I just can't believe that I haven't thought about that. Now the guy that ran Fixed Income for Vanguard here in town is waiting to meet with me. I haven't even set up the appointment yet. I've just got to get out and ask him, too. I mean, even if he doesn't he knows he's reached out to me because somebody else is a money manager, said he's got to call me and have coffee, so I'm going to meet with him. And I'm sitting on that bar. He's pretty much told me he manages his own money, but the nice part about that is, you know, they manage it while they're alive, but they always want someone to take care of their wives in the long run. So they always employ us to kind of work the side on. So
that's brilliant, by the way. That's what I had a guy here on the island, similar situation, right? He goes, you know, I can do all this, you know, through Fidelity for half the money they're going to charge me at XYZ. And I said to him, I said, yeah, that's great, but Tenedra.
Right.
You know, that was his wife, Tenedra.
Right.
And he just stopped and looked at me and goes, oh,
right.
Shit.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course not. He's a brain wreck. She would be a train wreck. And I say, so let's just, you know, or whatever, it's not that much. And I wasn't even the FA on this. I was just introducing it. By the way, this is a really, this could be very important for you. I've learned some lessons in terms of introducing people.
Okay.
I introduced one of my best friends. He wanted an introduction. He was in that situation, you know.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I introduced him to one team, and he chose another. He chose Northern Trust. And, oh, yeah, you know, I'm so competitive. It's not even my, you know. I just wanted him to listen to me, right? And so it turned out his wife was worried about confidentiality. So I said, that's it. I'll never do that again. Here's what I'll do, which I did the next time. I introduced them to three different teams. And this is what you can recommend.
Yeah.
I mean, we do that when we recommend a CPA, right? But
yeah.
We don't think about the value. All we want is them to recommend us. The problem with that is the person recommending doesn't. So guess what? The next time I introduce them to three different teams, who do you think he chose? Chose the one I suggest.
The first one on the list, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One guy showed very little interest. Another team came in and visited, but, you know, weren't really connected. And the other team, you know, just was super all over. And but it still took me going and visiting him afterwards to close him.
Right.
Okay? So it isn't easy getting these big, you know, you get $10 million clients, they're not easy to close. They're going to, you know, they're going to have options. So I think if you introduce, you know, have your client, train your client to introduce multiple teams, even though it sounds like you're introducing competition, I think you can control that.
Yeah.
Okay? I know that sounds crazy, but I think you can control it. You somehow build up an alliance with a couple other teams that are different from you. And they do different things. And maybe you say, this is not going to be a good fit for me. You guys are much more suited for that client. You know, maybe they want to trade a lot or maybe this or that. I don't know. I don't know that answer from your point of view. I do know that it's really frustrating for a client like me to refer somebody and have them not buy into it. So from now on, I'm always introducing three.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much...
We're never asked to refer within our own profession, though.
No,
I used to have somebody, well, I can see Fidelity from my window, and I used to just say... You know, not really the client for me. Let's walk over, and I used to have somebody just to introduce them to it. I mean, Charles Schwab. I used to just walk them over to Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
You know, in this case,
let's think about it being your center of influence money manager, right? So with Vanguard. Let's say this guy ends up being an enthusiastically endorsed professional that you like, and he endorses you. But he wants to have three different options. You know, maybe instead of pretending they don't exist, you guys come up with the three different options, depending on size and quality. And this is just an interesting idea. I mean, I never thought about it.
Then you evaluate who your competitors are. And,
yeah.
Right? You have a good evaluation of who your competitors are and who can do things for you. It's a small town, and the competition really is fairly weak, honestly. you know, I'm also type A that thinks I'm the best and that's why I'm successful, right? So,
you shouldn't be afraid of it. Cause,
right. I'm not afraid of it.
You know. Yeah, you could.
I mean, I wish you could put us all in the ring together. That'd be awful.
Yeah, so that's kind of what you're advising. Now, a lot of them won't do. They'll just recommend you, but the fact that you have the courage to even suggest it,
it's
pretty cool.
I used to say, funny, years ago, I used to say, and we can move on from this topic, but I used to say, you know, you're with one of the best three advisors in town. I'm not going to tell you who the other two are, but, you know. And then they would laugh just like that, right? So,
no, that's true.
All right. So say you were building a new pipeline from the ground up, because maybe I'm interested in other niches and ideas that might come up. I mean, we're in Florida, a lot of retirees, you know, and I think you do business with people that you like, I mean, because it makes your business better. So, I mean, I like the money managers, I mean, I like the business owners, but, you know, Jay on this call, we were talking about, you know, going out to interview attorneys. And there's an attorney group we like to use in town. And there are other specialties within this firm. They're breaking into the, you know, they're not the top tier in town, but we'd like to give them some business. And I'd like to go over and sort of interview them. And we like the attorney that's the estate planning attorney. How do we choose the whole team or just the estate planning team or what do we do? You know, what did she say to you? You can invite whoever you want. They also have the number one divorce attorney in town who, you know, got the assets go somewhere, right? So, number one divorce attorney probably in town. They have some of the best litigators in town.
Yeah, some litigation is strong.
Mm-hmm. Litigation is strong. I've had a few referrals from big litigation cases. So, we can get the face of all of these people, but and Kay left it to me, which is a sad place to leave it because sometimes the loop never gets finished, but do you recommend we go and say, all right, we want to meet let's have these people in the room and go over and meet them in their office?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we be educating them on what we do, or should we get an idea, should we be getting an idea of what they do first?
Okay, so this has been thought through carefully, it's actually five steps, and the first you've already done, which is to know them or meet them and find out they're good, and they're interested, all right? The next step is to meet them in their spaces, and you can take as many people as you feel comfortable taking. And the basic idea is that they get a chance to tell their story. And one of the guys that I thought, he's a little bit cocky, and he said, I want to meet every person that is going to eventually touch our clients.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of a great line. It basically says, isn't that a good line? It says, I don't want anybody messing with our clients. You can tell he had great, he really protected his, you know, it says our clients are very valuable. We're not just handing out names here.
Right.
So the idea, and it's good to explain this ahead of time, the process. Say, okay, so you meet with them and you say, yeah, I like the idea. All right, the first thing we do is we visit you and make sure, you know, just we want to know what you do. What's your minimums? You know, what's your max? How many clients do you handle? Do you have room? Are you trying to grow? What do you specialize in? If it's divorce, what kind of divorce? You know, what size, et cetera. And so you want to, and then why? Why you? As a divorce attorney, and why you as an estate planner? What do you think makes your team unique or your particular niche unique in the law firm? It's very interesting to do it as a group. I've only done it like we go and see the estate planning attorneys. But I think you could try doing multiples. It'd be very interesting because they're very competitive with each other, you know. And they, and the estate planning attorney is at the low end of the totem pole, but then makes the least amount of money for the firm. So everybody is like dumping on them, you know. But anyway, so I think that would be, that's good. Now, the second, so that's the second step. The third step is they come over and visit with you. But you've got a great team. So here's what you do. You bring them in a conference room, you give them some coffee and some, you know, coffees, and then you guys stand up based on the five-star model and present your team. Okay. Which the five-star...
I remember it.
The five, yeah, the five-star model will give you a chance to present everything that you do in an organized way from a leadership point of view, which they have no, will have never seen or heard of.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're going to, so when, you know, the director of planning, the director of implementation, which is the investment part, so you get a chance to tell them a little about every part of it. How do we do planning? Why do we do planning? Is planning an ongoing process? It's not a book. And then, it, you know, the investment process is a process. It's not a portfolio. It's a process. And service, you know, brand management. Why do we call it brand management? This is what we do. This is how we do it. This is how we protect our brand. Our service, exceptional client service, is a huge part of our brand. We're committed to it. This is how we commit to it. This is what every client gets.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is how we solve problems. We have a rapid response team, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. I don't think you're going to see that with any of your other advisors that you might be using. And then,
more work, Kay. Mm-hmm. Get a little bit of work, Kay, and see a lot of you on here.
When we approach the firm to set this up, I mean, what are we telling them the purpose of this meeting is? Is it to introduce ourselves or to get their
first
to get their
first understand their business, their business model, and then say we'd love to have you guys come over and hear about our business model, right? Ross, is that it?
That's right. I mean, you know, the idea is that we were going to form a business partnership. We'd want to get to know the other firm before we merge. We want to get to know you, and we would be delighted if you got to know us.
Right.
All right. The idea is that we think we can do a lot more business together than we can separately.
Yeah.
All right. So then vice president of marketing, Stan, you say, why tell them about marketing? Because they don't have a clue about marketing. So you can talk to them about your initiatives in the areas of marketing and things that you might do together that would be. You don't have to do much of a presentation there. It can be just kind of a brief thing, but it gives them the idea that you have a team where a person is spending all their time thinking about how to market yourself successfully in the community. And then director of leadership gets up and stands and does the same thing. Talks about the overview and the how you develop team members, how you hire, how you develop people, how you grow the team, and what's the vision and purpose and mission of the team. You know, why are we in business? Why are we different? Why do you think it makes sense for us to? And that's where the time you take to develop a purpose statement, a mission statement, a vision for the team actually pays off.
Yeah.
You know, I told somebody the other day our purpose is to improve the client experience worldwide by improving the financial advisor's experience. That's our sole purpose. You know, that's all we do. We want to improve your experience so that you can improve the client experience. We're completely client-centered. That's everything that we do. And so that makes it clear to somebody what we do, why we do it. All right?
Intro, their office, our office, mm-hmm. And then you said five steps for me.
Right. Then the five-star model. Yeah. So
okay.
Planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership.
Okay.
And you can, and you, And that's a great thing to rehearse anyway. You should do that. And this is how I suggest you do it with every niche or every team, every center. These are for real centers of influence, okay?
Yeah.
These are the ones then you're, so that is that meeting, right? So that's your third meeting. And they walk away blown away. They didn't have any clue what you did, how you did it. You show them Supernova and how you do it and how you keep track of people and how you coach them and all that. And then the fourth meeting, right, you give them a folder. Yes, you do. You give them a folder. And so this is the folder that we give to every client. Okay, so the first meeting was introduction. The second meeting was in their office. Third meeting was in your office. And the fourth meeting is where you introduce the idea of the enthusiastically endorsed model. Now, you love this, so you're going to be able to present it with great enthusiasm. And they're going to say, that's great. You can, you know, you ask all your clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your state planning attorney? And so you've been able to give me four or five leads, you know, introductions, but I haven't gotten any for you. And you simply say, hey, I understand a lot of the people that are going to be introduced to you come through financial advisors, but I just ask you to ask the same question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? You know, so that's what the estate planning attorney says. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? Now, assuming he wasn't as enthused by the financial advisor, because, you know, that would be kind of nasty. But a lot of them don't come through financial advisors. And this is the basic concept you're going to do with CPAs, attorneys, realtors, commercial realtors, anybody that you think is big and knows people. And if you develop that relationship, they'd be impressed. I mean, you know, they would, if you did this presentation, they would be impressed and therefore would be able to. So then you teach them that model, which is valuable for them. You give them a folder and then you set up monthly meetings. You say, why monthly? Well, because your goal is going to have an introduction for them every month. That's how you measure. So if you're going to measure the team's activity, all right, your activity and everybody else's activity, what I would suggest you measure is how many introductions you've given that month. You can control that. You can't control how many you get. But I bet you could give 30 introductions in a month.
I don't think that's a problem, but I give introductions all the time. I mean,
okay, so here's what you're going to do.
I gave an introduction to a chiropractor today. I gave an introduction this morning. You know, I have someone to give for a estate planner today. So, I mean, almost every meeting people are asking me, as long, and then the more you talk about your enthusiastically endorsed list, the more they're going to bring out people they like to use and don't like to use.
And remember, you're not going to have that problem in the future, are you? I can't remember who I gave what who to. You're going to keep track of that. That's going to be in every folder. You're going to write down who you gave to whom and when, and then when they open the account.
Right, and then you're going to send them a thank you note on the anniversary of them opening the account. Right.
And you're going to call them and thank. And call them and thank them, and they're going to say, I've got another guy for you.
How are we going to keep track of that?
I don't
know. You could have been,
Sheila.
You know, you have to do it.
Sheila, how are we going to keep track of that? Help.
No, this
all right,
is...
All right,
this is,
all right. You know, the boat was sailing around, and you got to that point, and all of a sudden it got heavy.
No, you don't have to do everything. This can be all. This is where computer automation can come in.
I know.
Okay.
But that, those tasks right there and those meetings, I mean, what we need to do is sit down and say, hey, who's the top and who do we want to do business with? This group we're talking about is one of the top, so this was a good example. But I can, you said the top realtor, I mean, I could call the top realtor and her husband and get the top five, you know, the top five realtors, and I could go get that, I could get that meeting. There's not anybody that's not, I can't get a meeting with. You know, I'm in a small enough area where everybody knows me and they'll take a meeting with me, so that's a good thing. And getting the right people and choosing who they are and going and setting up those meetings just it makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, so everything gets easier over time.
Right.
The first time you do anything, like, you know, calling people and using the folders and all that, sending out an agenda, an executive summary, it's like hell, and it takes 15 minutes. And,
yeah.
20 minutes. And now, if you do it right, you do it repeatedly, it takes 3 minutes.
Right.
Okay? That's the way this five-star model thing. You rehearse it, you get it right, you make it impressive, you'll be proud of yourself, the clients will be blown away, and you'll have something that nobody has.
Right.
Now,
and they've heard all the same stuff everywhere else from like one person at lunch, but they've never seen an organized effort ever.
Right. So here's the game to me, okay? Because of your ability, you haven't said no so far, okay? To doing this, you're going to have a problem with volume.
Right.
So you need to raise your minimums.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Because you're going to overwhelm yourself with too many introductions if you let this go.
Yeah.
And that's the way you control the volume.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had one gal down in oil area in the Gulf, and she had a volume problem. And I said, raise your minimum to 25 million. She called me back and she said, it's worked, but I still have a volume problem. I said, congratulations.
Right.
Okay?
Good problem.
And it's a good problem.
Right.
And so then, you know, what do we do then? 50 million, I guess. Okay? So these ideas, you can use them all, but I don't want you to get overwhelmed. Okay?
Right.
And then I love
opening business, you know, like, I mean, I just get excited.
I know.
You know, that's why we do well, right? So let's go back.
Right.
But I appreciate it. I mean, I understand. You're right. I want to do it all, and there's only so many hours in the day. That's why I said it. But I think we have the team in place. Why not go introduce it to the top, like the most ethical top, high-end people that are handling the billionaires, that's who we want to be working with. Well, let's just, why work our way up? Let's just go to the top and work our way down and turn down business, right? Instead of working the way most of final financial advisory practices, you open whatever you can.
Yeah.
Which I did. And you work your way up, and you work your way up, and you work your way up. You know, why not just go to the top and work your way down? So I think that from a service model, if you have the top service model, you can truly go out and compete with the best of the best. We're not competing, honestly, with financial advisors in our region necessarily. We're competing, you know, we're really competing. Our biggest competitors are, you know, Goldman Sachs, and, you know, they're always a competitor, and really New York advisory firms. You know, that's really competition. And, you know, those are two tough nuts to crack, but that's where we're competing. So we just need to go show that we have the same level of sophistication as those other teams. So.
Right. And I think by organizing it this way, you can show that. I think you'll be very, you know, you'll be delighted by how this shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
was very helpful, I thought. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. Next time we'll go into the mastermind groups and I'll show you how, because you're a perfect guy for that. I have a team in New York that is you know, I taught them, and then they taught me, and then I taught them, and it was just, it was amazing how well they did.
Mastermind group originated in Florida, so, I mean, I think we could do it here, right? So,
sure. Yeah, absolutely. You'd be great. You'd be great. I mean, you know, however you do it, it will work. But, you know, just get these things, you know, one step at a time, put this in place, get ready, make the phone call, go ahead, make the phone call, set it up. That way, if you don't do that, you guys will never want, you know, you're just not going to want to practice the five-star model. But if you got to do it, you got to do it. You know, you're going to be ready when you come.
Yeah, we'll set that one up that we were talking about, and then I'll, you know, see, we'll work our way through that one, and we'll set it up. We're not going to go do five of them. It's just too much.
No.
So, you know, maybe we do, say we're going to do three this coming year. And, you know, we'll do three this coming year. And it's just part of the business model, right? It takes time. And we'll get ready for it, and we'll make the time for it. So set realistic goals there on that. And, I am interested in the mastermind group just because I am surrounded by, literally, like, I was with a guy Saturday, like, I was the CEO of ServiceMaster, then I went and became the CEO of R.H. Donnelly, now I'm no private equity, just moved to Bureau, you know, do you want to have a cup of coffee? I mean, that guy there would be the perfect, I mean, it's not perfect candidate, perfect person to say, hey, you know, you really got to talk to Trent, you know? I mean, he knows everybody. Right, and I know the guy's all, you know, you play golf with a loud mouth, and you're like, I gotta have coffee with that guy that talks all the time, because he tells everybody how great everybody is. That's the guy you want to go out with, right? You want him to be a mastermind group candidate. So I've already kind of filtered out who those people are. How many people are in your mastermind? I mean, you don't have to go into it too much here, but I know it's part of this week. How many people are typically in your mastermind group?
It would depend, okay? If you did it like Thomas Edison did it, it's a little different than the way we do it. His would have maybe six or seven people, you know, Harvey Firestone and all the geniuses of the time. That can work for you in that community, okay? You could build a brain trust that would be great at just introducing you to other people. Now, you're not going to be able to introduce them. Well, you could. The guy's, what's he doing, private equity now?
Yeah,
so he can do. You can introduce him to people and so forth. So, to me, I would put together guys that weren't competing. He'd be your only private equity guy. But you want to have guys that are maybe former CEOs on boards, you know, just a great networking group that potentially can all refer to you, and they just like the chance to get to know each other, because typically guys that are like that they don't have many friends. They go to board meetings, and, you know, they socially, they're kind of, you know, stuck because they were alone most of the time. But anyway, I'm generalizing. But you putting something together for them like that, where they become great friends while they're in their, quote, retirement, would be awesome for them. And they would love you for it. They would just like you for it, you know. It would be wonderful. Okay?
Yeah, I got it. So
that's a normal, you know, the typical mastermind group is five to six, you know, four to six people having dinner once a month who are CPA, an attorney, a commercial realtor, residential realtor, and you or something. That's a typical mastermind group, okay? What you're talking about is more of a brain trust group. They're really just really interesting people that should know each other. The other,
they love knowing each other, and they love the idea of making business happen, right?
Right. Yeah. They do.
Use this guy. They love the idea of, like, hey, use Trent. Make his team. Use Trent, the lady candidate of Morgan Stanley. Use that group because I told you, and they're awesome. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're control people, too. Yeah, right. I love that.
Did you call him? That's, like, my favorite rule of the sport. Yeah.
The kind of the third variation on that is something we ran into accidentally, and I think I explained it on the video, which is the niche mastermind group. So you develop a niche, or, you know, a mastermind group around serving a niche. Okay? So we're going to kind of have to think about that one, because there isn't one on your list that jumps out at me and says, oh, this is great. This is all the people that, you know, service, you know, a company or, you know, service, you know, car dealers or service the steel industry or service this. You know, it's not a, or help doctors. The original one was help doctors sell their businesses. Who are all the people that... But that's another thing, by the way, which may not be perfect for you because you're in a sort of different situation, but in a normal, you know, Midwestern town, I always tell the guys, put together a mastermind group for people that are selling their businesses and their practices. That's a CPA, an attorney, you know, business broker, and so forth. That works great. And it's sort of, it's a nice group if you, you know, if they're nice people. It's a fun group to be with. And you'll get four or five businesses sold every year, and you guys will get, and you'll get the money. So it's kind of, that's kind of fun. Now, this group in New York was focused on the technology market in New York, all right, which is not Silicon Valley, but there still is a pretty strong technology, and that's what they did. They formed a group around people that are looking for liquidity events around their businesses. And that would be very, you know, your private equity guy would be very interested in that.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't be on that group. He has too much of a vested interest in it. You'd refer him in. You know, you want the people that are actually involved and can be on the other side of the wall. But those are just some ideas. So put those into your brain trust and, you know, start thinking about them, because, you know, if you give me some good ideas, I can then tell you how to do it.
Well, sometimes I sit here, we sit here in this little town, only private airport. I watch, you know, $40 million, $80 million jets flying every 5 minutes. Fly in and out every 5 minutes. I mean, we're in a zip code of CEOs. They all come here and congregate together because some other CEO lives here. So this is like CEO wintertime heaven. And what they like is, you know, private clubs, things that are hard to get into. That's a reverse psychology marketing a little bit. You know, they don't want to. You're marketing everybody, right. Want part of it. It's like, oh, I'm limited. You know, so like, hey, I'm limited. It's like, oh my God, and they're all over me. My manager laughed at me because he's like, I don't carry a business card. Because when people ask me for a business card, I'm like, I'm really not handing out my business card. I'm kind of limiting who I'm dealing with in business now. And that actually works better than having a business card ready. You know, just what that do? It goes 600 F somewhere and nobody uses it. So I said, look, if you're interested in getting hold of me, I'll reach out to you and get my business card to you. And then I'll send them my business card. But yeah. I never, ever hand it to them, ever. I don't have business cards in my car, in my pocket, in my briefcase. I just don't do it. And I think that's sort of part of the scarcity model I've been creating. I don't know if that's the right thing or not, but I came up with it on my own. It seems to be working, so I'm not going to change it. But we are in this town of people looking for, where I was going at, is people are going for that private, I want to get the best experience. And sometimes it's hard to get that message into that community. You have to get it through existing clients and service providers. And it takes a little while because we have them for a short period of time. We have them for 6 months and a day because of the tax law. So we have them now. So 6 months and a day of real heavy-duty activity. And we're busy the rest of the year, don't get me wrong. But we have a lot of opportunities and activities right now. So I'm playing more golf when I'm the busiest. It's kind of reversed.
Yep.
And when I have time, you know, you know, when I have time, I'm, in the summer when I have time to play golf, I don't really feel like doing it as much, but it's, you know, it's how do you, you know, have them all around, and I think you got to kind of create that scarcity model. And you do it through the mastermind group. You do it through these, what we talked about today. So today was like an interesting, I saw so much going on in the video today. I was like, oh my gosh, how do we get this put into place? And I don't know, does anybody, I mean, Kay, I don't know, am I missing something or?
I don't think you're missing anything. I just think that there's a lot of different areas that we're trying to complete, you know. I mean,
yeah.
At the same time as we're doing this, we're still creating folders for clients and setting up those calls. So you just have to be able to prioritize it and take a approach it so that you're not just doing it sort of half-assed, you know.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Right.
Well,
something's going to fall.
Yeah, right.
Well, the way I recommend thinking about it is thinking about everybody on the team swimming down their individual lanes, and at the end of the lane, jump up and say, okay, how'd you do?
Right.
Because you all can't build folders. You all can't, you know, do this or that. So you guys can make sure you're delegating what your charge is for that week. And make sure it's very specific. That's why I recommend 15 minutes before meet. Did we get it done? 15 minutes after? What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it?
Right.
And that way everybody isn't this sense of everything is on me to keep track of. Everybody just goes off and does their thing and I'm supposed to keep track of what everybody's supposed to do. There's five vice presidents. There's not one. Okay?
And we're down as assistant because he had an operation. He's been out for, how long? 6 weeks. He's going to be out until January. So, you know, we are a little bit squeezed anyway in that season. So, but I think, that's a good input, Kay, because you're right. I think really we do one of these. I think Rob, right? I think you're both right. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up. Got to prioritize what's the most important thing to get achieved here.
And assign it, you have to delegate it, Trent, because you can't do everything. You know, like
mostly, for the most part, it's been Sheila and I on the folders, for the most part. And if Rob was here, he...
POIs and everything and setting up those kind of meetings and doing...
I can't do that.
The five-star model and all that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can make the call and reach out to the law firm and say, hey, you know, we want to meet with you and here's why and get that set up, but... I know, then I need to have it handed to you to talk to whoever there to make sure that happens, right? I can't do the whole thing or it won't happen.
Right.
No, I can't do anything.
And that's the idea of the entire marketing should be done just like we do our client appointments, okay? It's a team effort with, Trent, you're not in charge of anything, okay?
Yeah.
That's the only way. That's the only way the prospecting ever will work. You set up the monthly calls, and you don't set them up. You don't build the folder. It's time for the appointment, and 20 minutes before the appointment, you know, you get the folder, and out the door you go. And you know what your week is going to look like. You know, it's all scheduled, not just client appointments, but center of influence appointments. So these are all set up ahead of time. I got a mastermind group tonight or today at noon, or I've got a mastermind group for breakfast. It's all set up. You don't do anything.
Right.
If you are in charge of anything, I'm sorry, but it won't get done. Okay?
That's legitimate.
Yeah.
That's the truth, right?
Yeah. Well, I did what you do, not as well as you're doing it, but I did it, and I know that when even managing, if I tried to control the schedule at all, I screwed it up. So I gave the entire schedule to my assistants, and they ran it, and it was great. You know, it was my performance was dependent on their ability to set up those appointments and then me to just show up, which was important. But that's your job. You're the surgeon. You know, you show up, do the operation, and show your genius, and everybody's happy. It all works. But what people don't...
He's a genius. You hear that?
He did say genius.
He did.
Now you just have to live up to that word.
Oh, the truth.
I mean, from my perspective, Trent, what I think would make it easier for me to execute is for you to say, okay, here's the things that we want to get accomplished this month, this quarter, this season, whatever, and here's the deadline, you know, when we want to have these done, so that everybody knows, okay, this part is mine, here's my timeline, and this is when and how I need to get it done. And that way, there's no confusion about, oh, I thought you were going to get that done last week, or, oh, I thought you were going to get that done already, and, oh, I didn't think that meeting was going to occur until later. I mean, so if you can lay out, like, the objectives and, you know, the timeline, then I think it would make it easier for all of us to execute as a team.
Okay. Fair enough. Sheila?
Sounds good.
Oh, come on. You can call me too now. Come on.
We're doing good. You know, we get the folders done. We get everything ready for the client. And
I think
that's been going real good. Working on the schedule.
Yeah, and you. But what I don't do is I get the folder off my desk. It's the 15 minutes after the meeting where I got to get the folder off my desk and get it back to you. So that's where I'm failing the most, I think. I'm like, oh,
That's normal. You just have to give yourself enough time between appointments that you get them. So you can't have, you know, you can't have our appointments right one on top of the other.
Right.
You gotta make them 50-minute appointments with 10 minutes to get the folder done and hand, you know, and you're out back.
And not meaningful appointments back to back like that anyway. Right. So.
No. You give yourself some room in between in order to do a good job. I mean, that's what it is. You know how much you can handle and how quick you can be. And as I said, they're going to take, you know, 20 minutes to start and 3 minutes when you got it, you know, when you figure it out. And then everything gets faster. And remember, once you build the folders, you don't have to ever build them again. That's the idea. And once you build the schedule, you don't have to build it again. You're going to have people canceling, but you're not going to have people, you know, have to be reteach them what Supernova is. They're going to get it. And that's the same with these centers of influence. Once you do this, you know, the 5-star presentation and meet with them and so on and so forth, you're not going to have to do that again. That client is, that center of influence is going to be good for a long, long part. And that's the part people don't understand. They think, well, oh, God, I can't do all that. It's too much. And the reality is do it once, and then you're done. And then you meet with them monthly and bring them introductions, and they get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get it. How did you do that again? Oh, you see enthusiastic and endorseless. Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
And you find out, you know, you quickly find out whether or not the guy is as good as you think he is or not. You know, it's just like any, you know, you don't give up the plan because you've got the wrong person.
Right.
You know.
You still work the plan, right.
Still work the plan and get rid of the person and get a new good person in there. So that's the idea, that you just figure, okay, it's going to take longer to build the model, but once it's built, I'm going to have something nobody has, which is true, by the way. This is how it works. Now, you know. Anyway, so you'll do it, and it'll work uniquely. By the way, I've got a good friend. I got a good friend in Vero Beach, Pat Walsh. And you know him? I think
I've met him a couple times, yeah.
He's a wonderful, wonderful, genuine guy. He's been good friends for 40 years, I guess. And
great.
Great guy.
All right. Well, good. Thank you, Rob. A great week. I really appreciate it. And I'll pop upstairs. All right?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.